material of Bible school, the anointing of abundance and excess. Course, the glory. Lesson 1, Introduction to the Course Teaching, titled The Glory, as the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus. The memory verse of this message is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. First, methods. In this course, we study the glory. It is not another lecture of the Bible school's anointing of abundance and excess. No, it is a renewed material of the lecture, The Calling. The course, The Calling, is 10 years old, and it is a living message which grew in strength, supplemented and changed, moving to the next level, gaining maturity and being opened in a new light, in the light of the understanding of glory. It is also important to mention that the course materials of the glory is not just a set of systemized knowledge that's based on scripture. No, the course material of the glory is consistently presented in the message of obedience to God. That is how it has been called by the Holy Spirit in my spirit. Perhaps in the mind it is not connected, calling, glory, and obedience to the Lord. But after listening to the course, you understand these words are one, without a difference. The course, The Glory, consists of 5 parts, each of which is a base and forms a proper understanding of the following parts. It means that listening to this course inconsistently is to deprive yourself of the correct understanding of all messages and revelation of obedience to the Lord. Even if it seems to you that you already know it, listen and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the message to you. You need to hear the message consistently, each part in its respective order. Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, Part 5. This will not take long. The first part of the course, The Glory, in the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus, is the reformist. What it will do to your mind might surprise you, but the peace and comfort that comes inside out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit will fill you with the desire to be obedient to the Lord as He wants it. Obedience to the Lord will open to you as an answer to any question. The second part of the course, The Glory, in the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus, reveals different aspects of glory and how, in what and by whom, the glory can be manifested. But the main emphasis in this part will be on the individual glory or glory prepared by God for each person who comes on earth. In the third part of the course, The Glory, in the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus, we will talk about the glory of the Lord Jesus as manifestation of glory and the sample for every individual. On the case of studying the glory God prepared for every individual, this material is very fundamental, since it is the lamp in the light of which will be formed an idea of the individual glory. In the fourth part of the course, The Glory, in the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus, we will talk about the glory each person in his own calling or mission from God. These lessons have more practical understanding of glory as a phenomenon calling from God. It reveals different sides of the call as a form of obedience to the Lord and the phenomenon of individual glory of God prepared for God. The fifth part of the course, The Glory, in the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus is entirely devoted to the strategy of prayer and entrance into the glory for life in His glory. This part, the same as the first, is reformatory. It does not reveal anything new, previously non-existent in the scriptures, but reveals how we can practically enter into the holy presence of God to such a level that the soul and the body do not interfere, to hear the voice of the Lord and receive from Him the task for your life in the fullness of glory prepared for you by God. I would like to point out particularly what exactly the material of the curse, the glory, in the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus is going to work with in your life. Second, what exactly is the curse material of the glory in the message of obedience to the Lord Jesus going to work with in your life? The Spirit of God, through the wisdom of King Solomon, wrote in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, "Train up a child," that is, someone who is just beginning to learn something, "in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it," that is, something of what he had learned. Therefore, initial teaching, or what gets into the mind of a man first, puts the focus of his attention on everything. Why have we mentioned the issue of initial teaching for the born again? Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 46, "Not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." Even in lives of newly born again Christians, the contents of the mind, for some time, and for some people, it takes quite a long period, continues to have significant impact on the perception of incoming information, and newborns should know this. About how it happens, we will have a little talk. Attention! Back to the young man. What is taught to the young man at the beginning, or what knowledge will be invested in his mind, it will determine what he will say, what he will do, what he will basically think, and what decisions he will make. Hence, this is what his life will be filled with, and as a consequence, it is what his life will be. It is especially important to mention that initial teaching will affect how the scriptures will be open to the young man. A spiritual infant is greatly guided by the content of his mind while reading the scripture. Striking example, the distorted initial teaching and its influence is represented by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there may be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And those who did it taught that what they say and what they teach are true. All they were doing, they offered circumcision to the Gentiles who accepted Christianity, telling them, 'If you have accepted our Messiah, then perform rules and regulations prescribed for the Jews,' and cited the example of the stories from the Old Testament. It seems nothing is distorted, but by adding to the message, thus they distorted the message." They had distorted the initial teaching, and they were carrying it to others. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? The Apostle Paul focused their minds on faith, and the Jews focused on the cases of the flesh. It shows that the initial teaching in their minds distorted the true understanding of the gospel of God in His Son, Jesus. Another example of the distorted initial teaching is untranslatable in Scripture, the word Christ, which is found in the Scripture more than 250 times. And because of the lack of translations, many born-again Christians considered it as a title or the surname of Jesus, although its translation is clear that this is not the title nor the surname of Jesus. Rather, this is what Jesus preached. That is what He is, and this is what He came to make available to those who received Him. However, taking the word Christ and looking at it like a title or a surname, this word in mind was misunderstood, and it had an impact on the understanding of the New Testament for the whole denominations. Because of this impact, there was a misunderstanding of the word cross, a misunderstanding of the word Christian, the word Antichrist, and in relation to the Acts because of the lack of translation for the word Christ. The focus transferred from the Spirit of the Lord to men. Now, think, what distortions occur in all those who read the Scriptures without translation of these words? The existing knowledge of the human mind is affected on how and what man sees from variety of images, as well as what he hears from multiple streams of audio information. That is the knowledge that already exists in human mind and what exactly a person perceives through the senses. A person sees and hears in the light of the existing content of his mind. The contents formed in the human mind depend on whether he has a bright light in his life or how clearly and legibly he sees the events and how clearly he hears what is happening. Attention! Therefore, we can say, already existing knowledge in human mind are like eyes and ears of his soul, or it determines what man hears and what man sees. This tells us that what the young man had been taught in the beginning in many ways would determine what he hears and what he sees. Attention! The question is, if you teach a young man at the beginning of his life the secondary things, and even tertiary, what basically would he see and hear? In this world, it is called red herring, false flag, or garden path. Then the question is, if the young man's mind is full of secondary or tertiary things, then what will be the basis of his life? This means that he will not be the head, he will be the tail. He will be late for the world's changes. He will live by the old world's information and outdated facts. Which questions will he mainly solve, and what will be the main expend vitality and resources in his life? On different things, but not on the main. In Scriptures, this way of life is called, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 14, vanity and vexation of spirit. Finally, the question, what will be the main focus of his attention when reading the Scriptures? The answer is simple: secondary and tertiary things, and something that will draw eyes of the denomination. Question, when a woman goes to the supermarket, does she take everything from the shelves and plans that she will sort out everything at home? No. She knows that she needs to pay for each item in her cart at the cash desk. Therefore, going to the supermarket, she makes a shopping list based on priority. Only needed items are on the list, and there is no need to write secondary things even if she remembers them anyway. For the participants of the covenant, it is written in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish? When life is filled with secondary and tertiary things, you will have to pay every day. Even what a person learns by paying hefty price as a result will also be secondary or tertiary. It means that his price would be a waste. A waste means a futile use of something valuable. Attention now. When in Ukraine were opened the doors for the preaching of the gospel, the church began to be filled with people who had a lot of problems. Physical, material, social, many different consequences of sin and curses, and of which, of course, the first thing every one of them expected is that their solutions will be solved. That is the focus of their attention. It was their problem and their solution that should be offered in the church. But how to solve their problems with the participation of God? Basically, very few people knew. This was because everyone was glad that they were allowed to open churches and preach the gospel. What to do then with people who came into it was mainly considered in the format of the waiting room. Each newly born again was invited to sit and listen to the preacher and all together wait for the Lord to come for his church. While waiting for the Lord, Bible for many became a place from where the verse was taken and someone talked about it from the pulpit or in groups. Sometimes was a shared revelation or the fact that leaders were given to denomination. The case of persecution will not be discussed, but the initial teaching was often anything but not what should be. It was the basis for life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Thus, many were taught to not only build, but also to live in the sand, explaining it as the life path in the desert of humility. No. To be precise, that is life without a foundation on which Jesus built. To instruct at the beginning, not necessary all in a row, but that was paramount in the Lord Jesus. 3. Obedience to the Lord. Now listen carefully to the question that the Holy Spirit asked me while forming this material. He asked, what exactly, I don't say who, am I saying? And he added, what was lost by the first man in the Garden of Eden? Let us add another question for clarity. What was laid as foundation for freedom of acts of Satan in human life, and what was the beginning of his path not only in life but on earth? I received the answer of the Holy Spirit. It was deeper understanding. Let us read in the scriptures about those events that are known to us as the fall of man. Let us read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat it, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now again, read the question and then the answer of the Holy Spirit. I repeat, what exactly? I don't say who. Am I saying? What was lost by the first man in the Garden of Eden? Let us add another question for clarity. What was laid as foundation for freedom of acts of Satan in human life? And what was the beginning of his path, not only in life, but on earth? And now the answer. Attention. Disobedience to the Lord was the very beginning of freedom of Satan in human life, and with it, the destruction of all that was entrusted to Adam by God on earth had begun. And that is what the Holy Spirit said. Disobedience to the Lord was, is, and remains the basic sin. This sin, which is the basis of all sins, the sin from which drew strength, all the dependencies, and all possible forms of influence and control of Satan. It is because of disobedience of man to the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord was forced to leave the Spirit of man. Listen to what the Spirit of the Lord had said through the prophet Samuel to the participants of the covenant with God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, from verses 22 to 23. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Magic and idolatry is obedience to fallen spirits. It is the fulfillment of his will, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This means that any person is always obedient to someone. Therefore, the disobedience of man to the Spirit of the Lord speaks of his obedience to the spirit of death, and on the contrary, disobedience to the spirit of death is achieved through obedience to the spirit of the Lord. Here is another word which I received in my spirit from the Holy Spirit. Listen, disobedience to the Lord through it came to man, and upon him, in disobedience to the Lord, Satan builds everything. Attention! This is the next question the Holy Spirit asked me. If disobedience to the Spirit of the Lord began the fall of man, what is the first thing to be recoverable by each person after his repentance before the Lord, so that the Spirit of the Lord will be able to do something for which he comes into the spirit of a born again? The answer is simple. The first thing that needs to be restored in every born again is obedience to the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord builds new, glorious life for man prepared by God. The Lord builds his kingdom on obedience to him. Satan builds his kingdom in obedience to him. Listen carefully what has been mentioned by the Holy Spirit. He said, salvation, this is not the foundation for a glorious life. Salvation is the door to a new God-given glorious life. It is written in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Salvation is not the foundation for a glorious life. Salvation is the door to a new, God-given, glorious life. The foundation of life is obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, he means obedience, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house, which is his life, upon a rock. Obedience to the Lord is presented to them as a stone base. And in Matthew chapter 7, from verse 25 to 27, Jesus continued, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, which are the curses of the world, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, which is disobedience, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house, which is his life, upon sand, and rain descended, and floods came, which are the curses of the world, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Also, the Lord says to the born again, in John chapter 15, verse 5, for without me, ye can do nothing. This means that the first thing you need to learn after being born again is obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. He is the stone from which and on which we must build our lives. Otherwise, the construction of a new life, already born again spirit, will continue to be committed in the sand, hassles, and worries of this world. It is written in Ephesians chapter 2, from verses 20 to 22. Jesus Christ, himself being the chief cornerstone, in all whom the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom, in obedience to whom, ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, For other foundation of life can no man lay than that is laid by God, which is Jesus Christ. Once again, salvation is not the foundation for a glorious life. Salvation is the door to a new, God-given, glorious life. The foundation for a glorious and blessed life is obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. Attention! Now, because very few minds are updated, every born again has in his mind his own view of obedience and its purpose. I did not make a reservation in my mind. We see it differently, and if you add the points associated with the peculiarities of the denominations, the difference will even be more. However, this difference is only in the mind, but not in the spirit of the born again. In our spirit of obedience to the Lord and His purpose presented by the Holy Spirit, without their denominational views in the spirit, they are all the same. And if you take the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Through Jesus and in Him is revealed the true picture of obedience, the obedience the Lord expects from every born again. When we look at the earthly ministry of Jesus presented in the Gospels of the New Testament, we see different sides of Him, but there is a side of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus which He did not hide. While reading the Gospels, our minds hide it away, unknowingly, or rather, our minds do not pay enough attention to it. Born-again Christians read the Bible, but still, there is an influence of earthly wisdom in the mind. So he does not see things as the mind focuses on something else, which may be also important and true, but not fundamental. Not that you need to put it in the foundation for glorious life. Attention! One of the features of every person's mind is that it sends the focus selectively depending on the kind of wisdom in him dominates, the things at some points that worries him the most, or what he hears the most. All these, through the mind, affects every sphere of life, and of course, on reading the scriptures. It becomes not only selective while reading, but also for understanding the scriptures. This largely is one of the causes of so many denominations, movements, and as a consequence, the separation. It is a manifestation of the mind, which I call unconscious selective attention. Unconscious selective attention is the focus of attention, exposing the contents of the mind. This is not the choice of the spirit, but it is the choice of the mind. Yes, as we have already mentioned, the scripture says that at first, but to be sincere, it may not be from what is presented in the scripture. Paramount in scripture should be the first in the initial instruction. As unconsciously, selective attention is fickle. It can change rapidly due to changes in events or updates of the mind and spiritual maturity. Therefore, what born-again people believe is important today, brimming with revelation, and a month later may not be so important. The focus of the mind will already be on something else, another revelation, other needs. This is an ongoing process which is particularly important to lay the right foundation. The process itself is not multiplied force and didn't steal a lifetime. If you take the earthly ministry of the Son of God, Jesus, it is like a well-built home, depending on which side you see the very large house. But we do not see the foundation that makes the house strong and stable, and therefore safe for life. It is the foundation of the house, which is the basic of a potential home. And considering its qualities, builders will plan all that on it, and it will be. Also, the earthly ministry of the Son of God, Jesus, is like a painted picture, looking at you, focus of your mind chained to a beautiful picture. But not the canvas on which he painted, and from which depends on how long this picture will be pleasing to the eye, and how long the original color will last. Also, the earthly ministry of Jesus is like a beautiful car that looks pleasing to the eye of its owner, but he could not see its engine. Although it is the engine that makes the car efficient and reliable in the use of its owner. The designing engineers creating a model of the machine basically makes it given the quality of the engine, as the engine largely determines what kind of design the car will have. From the presented examples, it is clear that everything has a priority, which is not always visible, but depends on everything that should and could be done, because it is crucial. And for every born again, there is something fundamental, something that should be based, spirit-filled life. Exactly what should be the foundation of a born-again spirit, we shall learn in the Lord Jesus forming in the mind of the first primary instruction. Announcement. In the next lesson, we will talk about what the Holy Spirit told me about some of the important features of obedience to the Lord.